in California now. This project actually started when I was program manager in New Mexico. And my background is really a research background. So I'm used to looking at data. And when I looked at the data in New Mexico, I thought this is sort of crazy the way we're doing things. We really need to do them in a different way. And when I moved to California, Howard and Denise and Claudia sort of indulged me in sort of allowing me to try this process in California as well. So California looks something like this. We have a whole lot of providers. But this is based on VACMAN. Many of these providers don't receive vaccine. What you see in the second bullet point is the number of practices that actually receive one dose of vaccine. Okay, and this was probably 2006. So we have a lot of providers. In the process of our oversight, we do approximately 1,200 visits a year. And CDC expectation is that, you know, we essentially oversee all of the vaccine that's shipped. And clearly that's a task for each project. And I think we can do it more efficiently than we currently do it. And certainly size, prioritizing by size is a good way to start. So here's some facts. And these are California facts, but I guarantee you they're facts in your state as well. Most of your practices are small. And most of your vaccine is used by relatively few practices. It's not just for California. This is a curve, which sort of is a curve I'll get to in the next slide, but it sort of illustrates what's happening here. If you look at the y-axis, you see VSC children, or the surrogate that we use is the doses shipped to each practice. Okay, that's an approximation of how big that practice is and how many kids there are. And then on the bottom, you see essentially ranked from the largest to the smallest, the providers. So you have essentially this long tail, what's called a long tail. But most of your vaccine, if you look at the area under the curve, most of your vaccine is actually in the first 20 or 30% of your practices. So, and this gets to the 80-20 rule, which is something that has been seen for at least 100 years. And it's really about an unequal distribution of things like wealth, effects, value. And Pareto, who was an Italian, found that 80% of Italy's wealth was held by 20% of the population. Well, we're used to that. You know, I don't know what the percentage is, but a very high percentage of global warming is due to a fairly small percentage of the total population. So this is a concept we're familiar with, but we're not really familiar with using this kind of data to derive more value from our process. So sort of the concept in a nutshell is the 80-20 refers to the fact that 20% of causes or 20% of sort of input sometimes results in 80% of effects, okay? So things are unequally distributed. So why not, and I like this phrase, law of the vital few and the trivial many. Well, our practices we wouldn't consider trivial just because they're small, but by the same token, they're probably not as valuable as the larger practices. So in the interest of efficiency, wouldn't it be better to concentrate more effort on the vital few? So this is California's sort of distribution curve. And wow, it sure looks like that Pareto curve that I just had up there, doesn't it? And what I've done is rather than put all 3,600 practices on this slide, I've actually put them into percentiles. So I figure there's about 36 practices in each of these percentiles. So you see at the very beginning with the largest practices, you see some 36 practices that are getting 650,000 doses of vaccine. So you see some huge practices. And by the time you get to 10% of the practices in California, which is about 360 practices, you've already accounted for 48% of the vaccine, 50% of the vaccine. 10% of the practices lead to 50% of the vaccine. And it sort of goes down from there, but what also like you to note is that your smallest 50%, at least in California, only accounts for 7% of the vaccine. So in California, we have 1,800 practices that are accounting for 7% of the vaccine. So as you can see just by looking at the height of these columns, that there are some practices down here that maybe don't have as much value in terms of our efforts as the practices at the front end of things. So that's sort of the gist of the talk. So the conclusion is maybe we should try to maximize the impact of. Now, I want to make a distinction here. What we're talking about is our routine site visits, not what we call in California our fire visits, when you have storage and handling issues, you have expired vaccine. That takes a priority. What we're talking about is our sort of crank through the practices, VSC AFIX site visits, and that's what I'm mainly talking about. So here's the California plan in 2006. And the way you can sort of look at this in your own state is look, if you, for instance, if you visit 30% of the practices in your state and you look at the percentage of total doses shipped that are shipped to those 30% of practices, if it's about 30%, then there's no preference. You're not visiting a predominance of smaller practices or larger practices. Everything is sort of a random process. And in California, essentially 30.8% of the doses were going to 27.7% of the practices. So they're about the same, which means there's no preference whatsoever. There's a little tiny bit of preference for slightly larger practices. Okay, so that's a good sort of rule of thumb for you to use in your own state. If you want to look at your own data, look and see what it looks like. If you're not prioritizing by size, the percentage practices that are visited is approximately going to be the percentage of doses shipped to those practices. So what I've also tried to convey in this slide is that the unit of value in this kind of a process is the provider, okay? Every provider is treated exactly the same. Doesn't matter how many kids they have or how many doses they get shipped, they're treated exactly the same. Well, I think that doesn't make a lot of sense in terms of efficiency. I think what we need is this, where the unit of value really is the child, and the surrogate of that is the vaccine doses shipped. So these larger practices, you really want to think about it in terms of how many children that practice has, how many doses they're shipped. That's really where you should put your effort into the larger. So in this kind of situation, the percentage of doses of vaccine shipped to those sites visited should be a lot higher in the best case scenario than the percentage of the providers visit. You want to visit more doses per visit. So what are the benefits of this? Obviously, I think there's benefits on both the QA side and the QI side. On the QA side, you have better oversight of storage and handling, proper protocols and procedures, because you do more oversight of more providers delivering more shots. Okay, so there's more QA over more shots. Okay, you're covering more shots. The QI side is also an advantage because your changes that you're eliciting in larger practices are going to hold true for larger numbers of children. So if you change a provider's attitude or the way the MAs do things, then there's more children that can benefit from that intervention. Now, the constraint on this, obviously, is that CDC requires us at some level to essentially do oversight of every practice in our jurisdictions, and that's a constraint. So what I'm going to try to do is sort of weigh the benefits of weighting this towards the higher practices without losing the small practices. And so what we did is we essentially, as I showed you in the graph that showed doses shipped to California practices, we essentially ranked all of our practices, and then we divided into, and this is sort of esoteric math, but we divided it into sevenths. The first seventh was the high volume, we call the high volume practices. The second and third seventh was the medium volume practices, and then the low volume practices was the bottom four sevenths of this. And I'll show you a graphic in a second to give you an idea why this sort of makes sense. And if you look at the mean doses per practice, you see a very distinct ratio between these three groups. At the bottom end, for every child in a low volume practice, there's 22 children in a high volume practice and 6 children in a medium volume practice. And this is just based on California's numbers. So those are the three groups we chose to prioritize. And what we did in the field is we instructed the field staff, and we have, you know, 15 to 20 field staff that are actually doing all these site visits. And they're not located in our central office, they're actually in the field. We instructed them to visit high, medium, and low providers in a 1-to-1-to-1 ratio, something that they could sort of get their wrap their heads around. And I won't bore you with the bottom part of this. I think it'll become clear from the next slide. So basically, what this gives us, if you do about 40% of your practices every year, is that you visit all high every year, all medium every 2 years, and all low every 4 years. There we've got CDC sort of constraint that we get all the highs every 4 years, or at some. So this is what it looks like, okay? If each of these boxes has the same number of practices in it, this is the way it breaks down. And as you can see, in the high volume practices, we're already hitting 57.9% of all the vaccines we ship. And in the middle two-sevenths, essentially each of these boxes has about 15% of all the doses. And then at the bottom, we have 4 boxes for, essentially, these are each going to be a cycle. This is supposed to be done every 4 years. So each of the bottom boxes has about 2.6% of vaccine. So if we're going to actually do this visit process, we start with cycle one, which is sort of equivalent to first year. All the highs get visited, half of the middles, and a quarter of the lows get visited. Then we go to the next year, you get the second quarter of the lows, the second half of the middles, and you do all the highs again. So it just continues like that with 4 cycles. And this is probably too much math for this crowd, but I just wanted to give you all a sense for, if you sort of do the math, you can sort of figure out what the benefit of this is going to be if you actually achieve this. So if we start out with a stylized, if we start out with 700 practices, just so it's easy to divvy them into 100, 200, and 400, which is sort of our ratio, and then we multiply times the doses shipped, the average doses in each of these groups, this gives you this 1 million sort of, I don't have a pointer, do I? This 1 million over here. This is the total doses shipped in a year, let's say, to the 700 practices. Then if we do the 1-to-1-to-1 ratio of our 3 practices, this is the number of doses that we're able to cover over here, which you can see we're visiting 42.9% of the practices. But we're actually getting 76, almost 80% of the doses covered. Okay, so that's a real benefit, I think. And if you look at the percent change, which is simply the ratio of this 76.4 over 42.9, this kind of a scheme gives you about 78% change. And what that means is that if your standard visit is 10 children, you're now getting 18 children in every visit, your average visit. So you've significantly increased your coverage of children. Depending on the percentage of practices that you visit every year, if you don't do 40% or 30, you know, if you don't do 40 or 50%, you still get the same percent change. It's just your percentage of doses that are covered goes down. Okay, so that's what these numbers in this column are. Okay, so this is your impact. You go from 20% visited to 35% of doses covered. That's a 78% change. So, how did we do? we put together a protocol. We pretty much presented it, not more than once or twice, to the field staff. We didn't really lean on them a lot to do this. But even though we didn't lean on them a lot, they actually did a fairly good job with it. As you can see, I didn't want to, I'm protecting the innocent in terms of, we actually have 5 regions in California. And some of you can probably figure out which regions these are, but some of the regions did fairly well in terms of nobody hit 78%, But there's a lot of sort of complicating reasons for that. But in general, we did get a little bit of more bang for our buck. Region A, for instance, instead of visiting 10 children on an average visit, visited almost 15 children on an average visit. Region B didn't do quite so well. They only increased 12%. Region D and E, which did a pretty good job in terms of their change. The overall state change was about 40%, so instead of visiting, say, 10 children per visit on average, we visited almost 14 children per visit. So I think it was a success, and actually, as part of the process, there was, you know, as I just said, there was clearly some regional variation. We didn't do a lot of training on this. We simply gave them a protocol. The regions tend to be fairly independent, and we had a certain amount of staff buy-in, but again, we never sort of reinforced this. We gave them the protocol, said we told them to prioritize, and I think in general they did. I think in the second year we would likely see a lot more improvement. People sort of got it. We gave some feedback in terms of, this is what our expectation was, this is what you achieved, look at your percent change. So they got some reinforcement in terms of this being a success. Now what next? Well, I don't want to use that V word, but VIMBIP sort of reared its ugly head, and we sort of had to conform. You know, I had this nice sort of mathematical system, and VIMBIP, Claudia and Maria made it known to me that we probably should make our groups conform to VIMBIP. Well, unfortunately, VIMBIP's groups are not real clean. Okay, here's your proportions of high, medium, low a la VIMBIP. As you see, you don't have this 1:2:4 ratio anymore. You sort of have a 1:1.2:1.4. So, you know, it's not as clean a system as we had before, but the way we have adapted to that is that we now have changed the ratio from 1:1:1 to maybe 2:1.5:1. So it's gotten a little more complicated, but instead of actually worrying about the 1:1:1, we've simply given them some goals in terms of, from Southern California, for instance, this is how many visits we would like you to do in these different populations. And so I guess we'll see how that works. So states that are sort of considering this, what I would suggest you do is, what we did, is rank your providers by doses shipped, okay? Just take a look at what that looks like, and I guarantee you it's gonna look very much like that curve that I showed you. So you have a lot of vaccine being shipped to 20-30% of practices, and then you have this long tail of very small practices. And what you might wanna do is think about front-loading your visits to the high-volume practices to actually get more oversight of the vaccine you ship. Again, the constraint is that we're expected to do, site visit everybody in 4 years. So essentially, you should have sort of a 4-year cycle with whatever your low priority group is going to be. So I guess the punchline of the talk is that instead of thinking of your unit of value in the VFC program as the number of providers you have, try to think about it more strategically as the number of children you have, and a good surrogate for that is the doses shipped. So I guess we'll have questions after. That's the end of my talk. Thank you for your attention.